Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in another hour of Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Certainly appreciate you hanging with us here today on the Sports Grid Network, as we've got plenty we're getting ready for, plenty of madness, that is, with a couple of games for play-in opportunities in the NCAA tournament tonight. Got a couple of games in the NIT, along in the CIT, but we also have a same-game parlay, so let's kick it off with our good friend Davis Manick, and let's hear, Davis, what you got tonight for a same-game parlay.
All right, guys, we are officially in March Madness season, so we've got another same-game parlay cooked up over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We are heading to college basketball for the first time here. We are going to begin in the first four by taking the Colorado money line. This is a top 25 team by efficiency in KenPom's college basketball rankings. Anytime you can get a top 25 team taking on a team that is outside of the top 35, which is Boise State, I think that we got to hop on the Colorado money line. We are also going to take the under on 140.5 points. Colorado is the ninth best team in college basketball in terms of field goal percentage, but they are outside the top 200 teams in total field goals taken, which tells me this is going to be a rock fight, as we often see in these early games in March. And then we're going to take the second leading scorer on Colorado, Tristan Da Silva, to score 15 or more points in this game, banking on some efficient two-point shooting there. This three-leg same-game parlay is going to give us plus 428 odds, Colorado money line under 140.5, and Tristan Da Silva to score 15 or more points in this game. Good luck tonight, everybody.
All right. Appreciate that, Davis. Should be an awful lot of madness here to wrap our heads around tonight, as we've got, again, we said, NIT tournament, CIT tournament, Villanova added here tonight, Cincinnati and the Dons going at it here tonight, Seton Hall, St. John's, a lot of great basketball still on the college level to be played here, obviously, over the next 48 to 72 hours and beyond, but we still have plenty of NBA action as well coming up tonight, including the Jazz getting ready to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. And Oklahoma City comes in to this game here tonight after a much-needed 2 days off. They have not exactly been great to bettors over the last couple of days, but they did finally give themselves an opportunity to get that number one seed. But more importantly, I think it's fair to say that SGP is an MVP-worthy candidate, guys. And the way he is scoring and what he means to this team, he is absolutely the definition of MVP. So as we head down the stretch with him, good old Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has to be considered for MVP considerations. And I believe he's going to put on quite a show when he gets to take on teams like tonight in the Utah Jazz, who are, shall we say, defensively deficient, if I'm being nice there. I do think that he is going to get his. So I don't have any problem with, you know, with SGA having any sort of over on the props, or there'd be points, whether it be, you know, points, rebounds, and assists you want to go with. I think he's going to have some fun here and down the stretch over these final 12 or 13 games. However, they are just 2-7 against the number in their last nine games. So you have to be, you got to be careful. Although it, once again, it looks like all sorts of injuries and who's playing and who's not for the Utah Jazz here tonight. Looks like Markkanen and Clarkson are out. And it looks like the Oklahoma City Thunder are finally clean when it comes to injuries. So not a lot to worry about there. Golden State, however, needs to keep racking up wins. And, well, they've got one tonight that they should win. But, again, should win, can win, will win is a whole different story, especially when you're talking about the Memphis Grizzlies, who are now 10-6 against the number in their last 16 games. And can you believe it? They're actually healthier than they've been. You had Desmond Bane return a couple of games ago, and he lit it up a couple of nights ago there as he gets his way back in there. He's an above-average defender. So this team is already top 12, I believe, 11th or 12th in defensive efficiency for the season. They are not a walk in the park, which is, again, why they're 10-6. Against the number in the last 16 games, because the market continues to undervalue them. And it's no different, I think, here tonight as this number continues to get pushed up. I'm seeing 11s now with the total also being pushed up to 220 in this one. So I think, as I'm looking, Draymond still listed as questionable. But for the most part, Santi Aldama looks like he might be a go for Memphis as well. Do not sleep on them. Not saying they are going to win the game tonight, but there is no way that you just look at this team and say, yeah, no, Golden State's going to have no problem running them over. No, not just yet here. I think they're going to get quite the fight. And let us not forget, you go back the last couple of seasons, Memphis was an Achilles heel for the Golden State Warriors. I have a feeling they may just be that tonight for them as well. And the Clippers. Can somebody please look and post on the back of a milk carton the Los Angeles Clippers, because we haven't seen them. In fact, where the hell have they been? They have been absolutely horrific to the tune of 8-10 straight up, 5-13 against the number in their last 18 games. They have been awful, and they've been dealing with some injuries. Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, they've all missed some time. But, well, let's also keep in mind, the schedule of this month, we've talked about it before on this show, has been absolutely brutal. And it looks like all three appear to be healthy and ready to go here tonight. I mean, they have had, this is the first time in 2 weeks the Clippers are coming into a game with having more rest than their opponent and actually having a couple of days of rest. So Terrence Mann looks like he's back for the Clippers here tonight. It was a much needed reprieve for the Clippers. It's been a brutal travel month for them along with scheduling. So it's no wonder they've kind of fallen off a cliff here a little bit. But I think this is a good get right spot against the Portland Trailblazers here tonight. If we're being honest, yeah, even though they're 7-3-1 against the number this month, they have come against the likes of the Raptors and the Wizards and the Grizzlies. It's a totally different situation playing Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Harden at the same time. So bounce back for the Clippers here tonight. It's one of the games that I do think the Clippers will get right on. We have more to get to here, including an update on what's going on in one of the play-in games. They're off and running, March Madness. We'll talk about it next year on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. It is K Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. We do have madness off and running here already. Some college basketball, the play-in game. And right now, Montana State on top of Grambling here. What about 7 minutes to go in the first half, 24-19. And, of course, the winner gets to advance. And then we've got a late game tonight here with Boise State taking on Colorado. But let us not forget, as the NHL continues to screw up the scheduling, but did manage to give us a couple of games here tonight after giving us next to none there, George, a couple days ago. But it's always a pleasure to see you. Oh, look at that, a big three. But I will say this here, Kurtz, at least these are three games I think worth looking at here tonight. How about you? I mean, it opens up with Toronto taking on Washington. Can you believe that Washington still has a shot at making the playoffs, playing some of their best? What is going on with Washington? Every time I turn around to fade them, they end up winning and getting points. Like, what is going on with Washington?
Yeah, you know I feel the same way as you. I don't know how they win games. I just don't. All right. Ovechkin's having a ho-hum season, blah, right? He's not doing anything. They had to release Kuznetsov. There's nobody on that offense you're truly afraid of here. John Carlson, who once was one of the top defensemen in the NHL, really not that player this year. The goaltending's been good. I mean, Charlie Lindgren does not get the credit he probably deserves for how well he's stabilized the net for that team. Darcy Kemper's been okay, but Lindgren's been better. The bottom line, though, is me. I mean, Joe, last week we could have talked the Islanders maybe going for that playoff spot. Maybe the week before that, it was the Devils that we thought. Then the week before that, it'd be a different team. Islanders, Devils, Washington, Pittsburgh. Does anybody want the eighth spot? Does anybody want it? Because this is like every week we're talking about a different team. Washington's problem is this. Their next six games are pretty much against the who's who in the Eastern Conference. They go 2-4, they'll be toast again. You know, if they can go 3-3 or better, they'll probably have a shot here. I want to bet Toronto here. But my problem is also this. Toronto, Joe, has nothing to play for now until the playoffs. They're stumped in that spot, third place in the Atlantic Division. They're going to play Boston or Florida first round. They know that. They can't catch either one. Not unless they go on one hell of a run and one of those teams collapses here, which nobody suspects. Still, I'm going Toronto tonight. And Auston Matthews has been a little quiet lately. I think I'm going to go with Toronto. Either I'm going to parlay with an Auston Matthews goal or just take an Auston Matthews anytime goal on the side here. But I think Auston Matthews scores tonight. And I go for a Toronto win, but I do not feel great about the Toronto win.
Well, I mean, listen, Lindgren has been phenomenal, right? And during this streak, 6-3, I think they are in their last nine. Ovechkin is a one-man wrecking crew. I don't know why they keep putting the Capitals on a power play. They are going to score on you. Unlike Toronto, by the way, whose power play and power killing are absolutely horrific. Second of a back-to-back for them. But let's face it, they're all going to be bounced out in the first round anyway there, Kurtz. Let's talk about Dallas here tonight. The Stars taking on the Coyotes. I have a feeling I know where you're going in this one. Shock me here, Kurtz. Where are you looking here tonight with the Stars and Coyotes?
Yeah, I'm not shocking nobody, right? It's certainly not the Coyotes. Yeah. Right? The problem is this. I don't have a parlay partner here. So, you know, minus 300, I'm not going to go with that. The minus goal and a half, it's probably what you're leaning towards here. The Stars are not that team that I like to bet on with them to win and an anytime goal scorer because, you know, they don't have that superstar goal scorer. There's no Matthews. There's no Leon Draisaitl, Zach Hyman, who I've been picking on all season long here. They have very good players, but which one do we like to score a goal tonight? Is it Robertson tonight? Who's really not having the year he had last year. Maybe it's Rupe Hintz. You know, Seguin comes back tonight. I wouldn't bet on him in a million years, but he's back tonight for the Stars. I like the Stars to win the game. It's the one game tonight where I feel pretty comfortable knowing who's going to win the contest. All right, I think it's the Dallas Stars here. But like I said, I don't feel great about Toronto winning. Nor that I do. I feel great about either one of the in the next game, either one of those two teams definitely winning here. So hard for me to find that parlay partner here, but I'll take the Stars on the goal line.
I mean, what do you think about the total? Interesting 6.5 in this one. I got to believe Dallas is going to be primed. I mean, if you look at this Arizona defense, it's about 4 goals a game on the road they've been giving up here. Got to figure Dallas is going to get theirs. Do you think they can score enough to get this thing up and over to 6.5?
Well, that's where we're at, right? We need Dallas to really carry the load here. I would think you would need 5 from Dallas, right? Because I don't know if I'm going to trust Arizona to get any more than 2. So we need 5 from Dallas. They're not the highest scoring team.
No, Andre hasn't been great either, though. Anja hasn't been great.
He hasn't been that goalie. He hasn't been the guy. Yep. Really, you know, outside of that one playoff series that he had 2 years ago against, I think it was the Calgary Flames, when he first came up, where he was, wow, brick wall.
Yep.
He really hasn't been that guy since. He's been good, but not wow. You know, and this year he's been more, he's been solid, to maybe above solid, but once again, not the, not what we expected. So I think that's fair. But he just hasn't been quite been that goaltender tonight. That being said, it's Arizona. I don't know what we're going to get from them. The big news in the GM meetings this week is that they don't know what's going on. Oh, my God, Giancarlo Stanton just had a long grand slam, his second home run of the night. Go out and grab Giancarlo Stanton in your fantasy drafts tomorrow. So
like yeah. And he just pulled a hamstring rounding first. Way to go. That's fantastic. Yeah, good stuff.
He'll be on the IL tomorrow for about 3 months.
Exactly. Stub toe. Yeah, please.
Listen, we all know that's unreal. Coming anyway. What's the over-under of his first yes. IL stint? May 12th?
Yeah.
I'll give you May 12th. Yep. Take your over-under.
I'll give it an hour. I'll give it an hour. I'm going to take the over on this. Exactly. Ottinger, by the way, 16 goals in the last four starts. That is not great and doesn't scream scream under to me in that. So I'm just saying, I think there's an opportunity maybe to get some goals there tonight, even for lowly Arizona. Kings in Minnesota. You know, Minnesota, Kurtz, has been pretty good lately. I mean, wasn't a great start, right? They fired the coach. They went on that that winning streak, worked out pretty good. You talk about not having that go-to scorer. Well, Minnesota has one, and they have been pretty darn good. And the inconsistent Kings, do you trust them enough here in this spot?
No. No, I don't. I really don't trust either team, by the way. The Kings have been a much different team on the road than at home. They're a better road team. For whatever reason, they're a better road team here. Both teams played last night, so that's even. Now, you mentioned this game is much more important to Minnesota than it is to L.A. Minnesota is I guess they're trying to get in that last playoff spot. I don't see it happening, but I guess they're trying to get in that spot here. So this is a must-win. And it's just a must-win because in some ways they're chasing the L.A. Kings first, but if the Kings were one of the top three teams. So Minnesota right now is 3 points behind Vegas, but Vegas has a game in hand here. So it's a must-win for Minnesota here. You mentioned that player is Kaprizov. If he would have been playing like he has been playing the past month all season long, my God, he'd be in the MVP conversation. He's been a one-man wrecking crew for that team. Love the way he's playing here. I assume, it's a late game here, so they haven't announced goaltenders, but I assume we saw with Talbot and Gustafson last night, so that would make you believe it's going to be Rittich and Marc-Andre Fleury tonight. Fleury's been really good lately. Rittich more up and down here. I like the Wild. I like the Wild tonight. It just comes down to one of these games. Both teams played the night before. It's much more important for the Minnesota Wild. I'm going to go with the Wild tonight.
Yeah, 4-1-1 in his last six. Flurries kind of turned the clock back here. And you mentioned it, man. Kasparov, since February 1st, 17 goals, 15 assists, 32 points in 20 games. My word. Those are MVP numbers if he ever could have put it together for an entire season. My goodness. But they need to win to get anywhere near the playoffs. You're watching baseball here, Kurtz. Any impressions here as we get ready to kick off the season?
Well, Otani might want to do a little better job of hiring his interpreter, right? That news story just broke about an hour ago. His interpreter stole $4.5 million from him. That's more than Otani's making this year. Otani's broke. He had to renegotiate that contract, get some deferred money to go a little earlier.
Yes.
He's okay. He's okay. But that was the big news story here. That and the bomb scare this morning there. So Dodgers win today. I need 103 more, Joe. 103 more to get me over. Hit the run line this morning. It was only -113. So I'll be doing the same thing tomorrow. Yamamoto makes his first start against Musgrove. Give him the Dodgers tomorrow. And maybe Ohtani hits that first home run tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we just found out, too, the interpreter didn't even speak English. So go figure. George Kurtz, we appreciate it, my man. Game Time Decisions continues next here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. It is Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. About 60 seconds left, just about ready to go to the break. Grambling Down 8 over Montana State in the first 4 game in tonight. We got Boise State and Colorado coming up after that. We'll keep you posted as we move along. But let's not forget, we just had the Players Championship on the PGA Tour. A couple of weeks, we'll have the Masters, but we do have the Valspar this week. And our good friend Brady Cannon in the house here, going to lay it all out for us here at the Valspar this week. So, Brady, we do Sundays on In-Game Live, and we missed you this Sunday. And maybe it is it's better because I know you were on this show last week, and you pushed the chips in on Xander Schauffele. And I was rooting for him, my friend, and watching him melt down on that show, I was happy that you did not have to endure being on air, because I imagine no matter where you were, it was probably not a bunch of pleasantries coming out of your mouth watching that. I don't know what it is with him. The guy's got the game. He gets the Sunday, and it's you can't count on him here. And it's absolute. You nailed it. Everything you said a week ago about him was correct, right up until when he got to Sunday.
Ah, boy, when he got to about the 15th hole, right? And I even figured that he needed to shoot 67. I was worried about it.
Right.
I wasn't feeling comfortable with just a one-shot lead. I thought he needed to shoot 67. He could have got it done with 68. He shot his worst round of the 4 days and even par 70, and it was one shot short. Of Scottie Scheffler, a brilliant effort. I mean, my goodness, two weeks in a row now, the shortest shot on the board. I mean, you know, we've gone a complete role reversal here. We had nothing but long shots to start the season, the first 9 events, and now Scheffler, the very top guy on the odds board 2 weeks in a row. But I guess they're going back to the well with Schauffele this week. I talked to a lot of bookmakers earlier this morning, and, you know, he's the shortest shot on the board at plus 750 or so, maybe even lower than that in some spots, and they're going back to him. But I did not go back to him. I told you last week, Joe, it's been a long time since I've been on Schauffele, and it might be an even longer time before I go back. But I mean, you know, I cashed a top 20, but boy, yeah, it was heartbreaking to not cash the outright win. But I got to feel that was incredibly emotionally draining for Schauffele. You could see how much he was locked in there on Saturday and, you know, trying to grind it out on Sunday. And I just don't know if he can come right back and bounce back and be in that position again to win a golf tournament the very next week. So I stayed away from him here at the Valspar.
So Palm Harbor, Copperhead, right? Been on the tour for a while. Nice course. You know, I need some need guys who can, you know, hit some irons here. Got a lot of shots, 150 or more. Out into some greens here. And you mentioned Schauffele seems to be the betting favorite, but something tells me you're going to go further down the board on this one here this week. What are you looking at?
Yeah, I didn't go much further. I went with JT, Justin Thomas, and I haven't bet on him in a while either. And I think maybe there's a little bit of line value because he missed the cut last week at the Players. But going into the Players, he had finished top 12 in 4 out of his last 5 starts. So I'm convinced the form is still there. And by the way, in the 2 rounds that he played at Sawgrass, he was gaining over 4.5 strokes on the field with the irons. It was the short game that did him in, which is uncharacteristic of Thomas. He's a very good scrambler. In fact, in this field, last 36 rounds, he ranks 11th for strokes gained approach and 11th for strokes gained around the green. Correlated courses I used this week, Sea Island, TPC Twin Cities in Minnesota, Harbor Town in South Carolina, Muirfield Village, the John Deere, and also TPC Southwind. He's won at Southwind. He's finished runner-up at Muirfield Village, has a top 5 at the Deere, and a top 10 at Harbor Town. He's also got 3 top 10s here at the Valspar to go along with 2 top 20s. So I got him at 16-1, pretty decent number on him. And then he went to Doug Gim at 46-1. He comes in having finished top 16 the last five events in a row. So he's been a very hot player. 12th in this field for greens in regulation gained, 8th on strokes gained approach, and top 30 for strokes gained around the green and scrambling. This guy's always good in the stats, and it's paid off with the results as of late. We'll see if he can take the next step, maybe against a little more watered down field this week, and turn a top 16 into a victory. I'm going back to Andrew Putnam. I was on him last week. He did okay, got off to a good start, made the cut, but faded over the weekend. Got him at 70-1 here. 2 top 10s this season, including a couple weeks ago at Bay Hill. Last 36 rounds, number 1 in this field for greens and regulation gained, and 2nd in good drives gained. Also 10th in scrambling and 20th in strokes gained approach. He's finished 5th at TPC Southwind and Mirfield Village, 11th at TPC Twin Cities, and 12th at Sea Island. And then a little deeper to Sam Ryder at 95-1, and I've even seen higher numbers on him. It was lower at first, and he started to drift to the other side of triple digits now. He's been playing well in Florida. He was 21st at the Cognizant, 16th last week at the Players, 4th in this field for strokes gained approach. And Joe, you talked about approach shots from 150 yards in. Actually, more than half of them here, when you include the par threes, more than half of the shots here into the greens are going to be from 175 yards or more. And Sam Ryder ranks 2nd in this field for hole proximity from 175 to 200 yards. And then I went with 2 more triple-digit shots here. Lee Hodges at 125-1. I really like the way he's played on ball-striking-type courses and against signature event fields, you know, the big-time fields with all the big boys. He has finished 24th at the Genesis Invitational, 12th at the Arnold Palmer, and 35th last week at the Players. So maybe like Doug Gim against a lighter field here, Lee Hodges could find his way moving on up that leaderboard in a hurry. He won last season at TPC Twin Cities, has a 13th place at Southwind and a 12th place at the Memorial. And then finally, a big bomb on Adam Svensson at 175-1. Ooh. This guy actually won on one of the correlated courses, Sea Island in St. Simon's Island, Georgia. And I hit him when he did at 150. So maybe the luck of Adam Svensson will come back to me here again. 37th in this field for strokes gained approach and 8th. In that key distance, hole proximity from 175 to 200. I just thought the price was really off here, Joe. I've seen him as low as 100-1. I've seen 150. I was able to grab 175. I think he's being a little bit undervalued. So what is that, a six-pack here going into the Valspar?
Yeah, it's such an interesting course. I've been at Innisbrook, and I swear if you blindfolded and dropped, all of a sudden got out of the car, you'd think with this golf course that you were in North Carolina. It feels like a Carolina course. The fairways are very narrow. You got tree lines everywhere, dog legs everywhere, small greens. The kinds of players that fit in here. I mean, this is not your typical, 20, 21 under type of tournament here. I ask you this every week. What wins this tournament? What's the number we're looking for here?
Well, if you go to the last 8 events, and you're exactly right, it doesn't look like a Florida course at all. Not many palm trees, but rather pine trees. Pine trees and elevation change. So the winning score on average, the last 8 editions of this event, has been about 11.5 under par, under 12 under par. Now, the winning score proposition bet this week here locally in Las Vegas is set at 14.5. I think somewhere between 12 and 14 is probably about right. But yeah, it's a ball. That's what we really see on the Florida swing. Ball striker type courses, not so much emphasis on the short game, really got to be sharp with the irons. And that's what we've got here again this week. There's going to be a lot of options off the tee. Guys are going to be hitting anywhere from, 3 wood to 4 iron and not a lot of drivers. And you throw in those par threes that are all about 200 yards long. And like I say, 175 to 200 yards is going to be a very popular distance when approaching these greens. So I landed on a couple of guys that are very good from that distance. And outside of that, I really put emphasis on iron play and then scrambling around these greens because they're going to miss some as well.
So it's interesting because you don't need to hit, there's no bomb. It's not a bomber's course, right? So you know, 340 yards left or right, you're in another hole. So it's not a great situation for there. But with the Masters coming up around the horn, who do you want to see? Who are you watching, keeping an eye on in this tournament here for possibility to get ready for the Masters coming up?
I hope it's JT. You know, I already have a ticket on Thomas at 34-1. He's drifted up a little bit. I've seen him back to as high as 30. I've seen him down as low as 26. That 34 was a little bit of an outlier when it was still off the cuff or off the tails of him having a poor year last year. And now he's really started to come around. I mentioned the four top 12s in his last six starts, and you're starting to see that price kind of bounce back and forth a little bit. I expected him to do well last week. You and I talked about it. I thought a top 10 on JT was a great bet. I'm hearing there's sharp money here in Las Vegas on JT for a top 10 finish this week, and I wouldn't be surprised at all. I think he'll bounce back. I think that was just a little bit of a blip on the radar here. I'd like to see him do well. I've got four guys for Masters futures so far: Thomas, Zalatoris, Spieth, and Jason Day. I'll probably be adding a couple more here in the next few weeks.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Had my boy Harmon last week. Thought he would get there, but no. That was brutal watching that. All right, Brady, we're going to cash the ticket this week, my man. We appreciate it. Game Time Decisions returns after this here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as we've got some madness already underway at the break. Playing game time, Grambling State taking on Montana State. Montana State, great first half, 42-33 on top of Grambling right now. Of course, the winner advances, and then we'll have another great game coming up between the Pac-12 and the Mountain West with Boise State taking on Colorado, and the man taking over at the top of the hour here who will carry it all the way through that game, Scotty Wetzel, Mr. Opposite Picks, who will be on Scotty, I believe, Saturday and Sunday with the late craziness there. We'll be on in-game live, a special edition of Bracket Madness here. Talk to me about this game tonight, though, because it is winning you're in. Love the urgency. And we've got Mountain West versus Pac-12. I don't like the Mountain West. We talked about this. But how are you leaning in this game here tonight?
Yeah, I don't really like it either. You know, I'm not a big fan. I actually am a fan of the Mountain West, but as most people think, they got overmatched here. I don't know how the Big East didn't get four and then the Mountain West got six, but obviously we debated that over the last couple of days. So I'm going to go under with this one. I'm not going to pick a side. Give me the under. You know, if I had to pick a side, I probably would take Colorado laying 2.5. Now it's up to 3.5, as you see, but I don't think we're going to get to 143. That line is bumped up. That was 140.5 this afternoon. So obviously I'm going against the grain here, but that's okay. You know, I give you a list a mile long of line movements that turned out to be wrong. So I got a lot of under trends. Boise State 6-2 under, last eight as an underdog as they are here. 5-0 under, last five on neutral site. Same thing with Colorado. You know, not monster under trends, but you know, for a toss-up type of game in which I really don't have a dog in the fight, I'll go with the under. You know, new arenas for both teams to be shooting at. You know, no local fans, right? They're in Dayton, Ohio. I don't think too many people from Boise or Colorado are going there. So what are you going to have, 10 people in the stands? You know, it's going to be a stale atmosphere. So let's go under the 143.5 if you get a number that high.
Yeah, no, I agree here. And, you know, neutral site games, different sight lines, teams they've never played. It's not like conference ball. You and I talked about this over the weekend where it's the third time you're playing a team. No. Different ball game here. But at the same time, Scotty, I love some of these games going on right now. I love the NIT. I love the CIT. I love some of the matchups we have here tonight. Currently right now, Seton Hall and St. Joe's are in a battle, 30-28 in the first there. And then, of course, we've got also Loyola, I believe, taking on Bradley, and that, too, with about 2 minutes to go, but it's all Bradley, 34-16 over Loyola Chicago. How were you looking at some of these early games here tonight?
Yeah, so far, so good with those. Did go 4-0. I pat myself on the back yesterday in some of these NIT games. And I didn't even realize, you know, I completely forgot about the NIT until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, well, it's going to be a nice, easy night. And then I see all these games listed. I'm like, oh, that's right. NIT, CBI, CIT. We got plenty of college basketball. Mm-hmm. So, actually, you had 4-0 yesterday. So, I'm on fire with these goofy games. I did like St. Joe's in this game, right? You know, your proximity, real close, Philadelphia and Seton Hall. You have plenty of St. Joe fans there. And, you know, if you look for stats, as I do, Joe, these toss-up type of games, and I kind of equated these NIT and CBI and CIT games kind of like college football bowl games. You know, you really don't know who wants to be there, who's going to play. The fan bases aren't going to be great, even on campus, right? So it's you know, it's potluck on some of these things. That's why I said, if you want to give me St. Joe's plus 7.5, Seton Hall 0-7 against the spread last seven games is a home favorite of 7 to 12.5 points as they were here. So that tells me that they may win at home, and they do, but they don't cover a decent-sized number. No reason to think St. Joe's isn't going to hang with them. They are so far, so you can get pretty much that same number right now. So I like that one, and I like the over on the Bradley Loyola Chicago game. You know, I love the NIT. They do a halfway decent job of, you know, putting teams that are, you know, fairly close together, a little rivalry, try to build a little bit of a fan base for some of these games, unlike UNLV Princeton, by the way. But Bradley over, 11-5, last 16 home games. We got Loyola Chicago over, 5-1 as an underdog. Again, not monster trends, but I do like playing overs in some of these rivalry type of games. So I like the over, and so far we're at a pretty good pace.
Yeah, no, not bad at all. Love that there, as the overs have actually done a pretty decent job in that first go around last night there. Scotty, I find another Mountain West team that I don't know if I can play them here either, with UNLV taking on Princeton here tonight. 3, I think, is the number that we were seeing here. What do you think about this Mountain West team?
Yeah, you know, that line was 2.5, and now it's either 3, 3.5. So people are betting Princeton at home. You know what? I'm right there with them. Again, I kind of like the over more than I like the game itself. But you think about all the close games, you know, Loyola Chicago, Bradley's, you know, St. Joe's and Seton Hall. Meanwhile, UNLV, I don't know who they did to tick off the people at the NIT, but they're flying all the way to New Jersey to take on Princeton. I mean, that's a tough go. So I would bet Princeton if I had to, and maybe put that in a parlay with the over. You know, we wouldn't think of Princeton, right? Pete Carril, the slow down offense and all that other stuff, right? That was a long time ago. How about 16-5 over, Joe? You know, their last 21 home games is Princeton. They're on a 4-0 over run heading into this game. UNLV's got some nice numbers as underdogs, but the over stands out to me. So give me the over 139.5 in the game.
Yeah, I laid the 3 with Princeton, too. I just the travel, and Princeton wants to win this game here, and I think they will. The next game, too, I don't know how you bet into it, but Wake Forest is at home. They welcome App State, right? Wake Forest 16-1 straight up at home. They're also 11-4-1 at home as a favorite, Scotty. Are we getting in front of – if this was reverse and this was an App State, I'd be fading Wake Forest, but – it's not. How are you approaching this one?
I'm going to go over. This might be one of the better over. Yeah. In fact, it is one of the better over plays to me. I'm surprised the line is not into the 150s. And, you know, App State relatively close to Wake, so you know they're going to come to play. North Carolina school, right? So it's not like, you know, we don't want to be here. Wake Forest, 10-3 over last 13 home games. How about 14-4 over last 18 as a favorite, as they are here? How about Appalachian State, 11-5 over, Joe, last 16 games overall, including 5-1 as an underdog on the road. I mean, it all points to points being scored, and you're getting a halfway decent number at 146.5, maybe 147.5, depending on where and when you do your shopping. Like I said, I thought this game was going to be in the 150s. This is an automatic overplay for me.
Yeah, no, it's, don't blame you with that one. It's a good look there in that one. You know Wake is going to score. And they're a good free throw shooting right. team too as well. So that'll be good. That one coming up. And how about, I mean, if I'm Villanova, I got to be ecstatic that I'm finally playing the Atlantic 10 and not UConn or somebody else along those lines. This is two very defense-oriented teams. You've talked a couple of overs. You're not looking at the over on this, are you?
No. I did, believe it or not, I made that mistake. Don't ask why. I'm almost embarrassed to admit it, but I actually played it over last night. Yeah, in Virginia. I did. I got suckered in.
Oh.
The line was so low. I looked up Colorado State, and they only had one game, Joe, one game all year in which they didn't have 121 points. And I said, all right, you know, they're going to get some. Why not, right? So, not again. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, right? So, got to go under here. Strong under trends. Villanova, 20-7 under last 27 games. VCU 10-3 under last 13 road games. They're on a 4-0 under run. Again, little surprise you got it into the 130s. I will gladly take that. I figured this would be around 127, 128 and a half, but not the case. You got it at 131 and a half. So let's go under Villanova VCU.
Oh, looking at the under there. It just depends on how much defense these teams want to play, right? We saw last night, Scotty, with some of those NIT games where, it looked like an exit. Like, okay, let's just see how many points we can rang up here. I don't think we're going to get that here tonight with Villanova and VCU, that's for sure. How about the NBA, Scotty? In what world does anyone live in which Phoenix should be laying almost double digits against anybody? This team has done nothing but burn money as a favorite this year. And you want me, even against the Sixers, you want me to lay 9? I how are you looking at this? Please don't tell me you're laying the 9.
No, we're taking the 9. We have to. And we're going to go under as well. And this Phoenix team is the same team that failed to cover back-to-back home games against the Houston Rockets, who I understand now are playing very well, but when they played them a week and a half ago, they weren't. And they actually lost the game straight up. So any enticing – now, Philadelphia numbers against the spread are horrible as well, but you know what? I'll take my crack at Philadelphia plus the 9, and we're going to go under. You know, you think, Houston – or you think, Phoenix, and you think, okay, high-scoring Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal and all the guys, right? Not the case. They're an under team. How about 21-8 under their last 29 games? 21-8. I mean, that's more than just this recent under thing we've had going in the NBA. 16-5 under at home. So don't think they play any more up pace at home. They don't. And then you got Monster Philadelphia unders as well. 9-1-1 last 11 when playing on one day's rest as they are. 5-0-1 under their last 6 games. 222.5 is a pretty high number in the NBA these days. So let's grab the under and we'll go Philadelphia in a little parlay.
Yeah, kind of like that as well here tonight. And the Warriors, another one of these teams. I'm scratching my head, Scotty. They're not great at home. They're laying 11 double digits. And quietly, you know, the Grizzlies have been cashing tickets against the number for a couple of weeks now. So what gives? Do you trust Golden State to lay it here tonight?
I don't, you know, but they're in a battle with Houston for that and the Lakers for the final two playoff spots in the West. I mean, they really, you know, if they don't be careful, Houston will catch them the way they're playing. So I'm not going to lay the 11. I will go over. It's a rare NBA over. 10-4, their last 14 games are the Grizz on playing on one day's rest. 7-1 over their last 8 road games are the Grizz. And you got Golden State, which figures to put 120 on the board against Memphis at home, right? So, and I think Memphis is good for 100. So let's go the over 218.5.
Yeah, not a bad way to look here tonight in that one. And of course, Scotty, we've got baseball, don't we? That's right. I heard you brushing up on your interpreter skills. Is that true here, my man? What are you doing, Dodgers and Padres here?
I can order Chinese food if Ohtani wants to, you know, I can order his food for him if he wants to pay me that. I promise, I don't have gambling debts. You know, you don't worry about me, I don't know. You know, the guy's been in the United States for, 6, 7, 8 years now? He still needs an interpreter?
Right.
Really? You know?
Yeah, that robs you.
Give me two plays. I'm betting the Dodgers. I kicked myself because I forgot when I got home to put the Dodgers in. I want to bet the Dodgers every single game this year. We figured it out. It's best to bet the Dodgers every single game. So we're going to lay the minus 188, lay the 1.5 as well. And Dallas Stars regulation against Arizona. Dallas 17-1, Joe, at home. Last 18 against Arizona. They have to win tonight.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Scotty Wetzel, we appreciate it, my man. He's coming up top of the hour for In-Game Live Primetime. We'll wrap it up next here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Woo, the madness is off and running here. Game time decisions on the Sports Grid Network. Don't go anywhere. So much more still to come there. Scotty Wetzel and the crew taking over in just a couple of minutes for another in-game live here with plenty going on. We talked about an NIT tournament, CIT tournament, play-in game currently right now. Second half, 15 minutes to go. It looks like Montana State holding on 49-37 over Grambling State in that one. And then immediately following that, we will have Colorado trying to punch their ticket. Some think Colorado should already be in the tournament, but they'll have an opportunity by taking on Boise State coming up here in just a few, and they will have you all set for that one. And then, of course, we are awaiting. We've got plenty of NBA action also tonight, some interesting games, including the Pistons, who were getting 10.5 points in this game against the Indiana Pacers at home. Far too many points as far as I was concerned. 51-48 right now, 2.5 to go in the first half. And remember we told you how ridiculously low that Miami Heat game was? Yeah, well, 58-48, the Miami Heat over the Cavaliers with 3 minutes to go in the first half. So that 204 is looking to be a problem here with Jimmy Butler already dropping 20 points in the game there. We also have the Bucks and the Celtics. Celtics up 26-19. And the Kings on top of the Raptors right now, 25-21. Coming up, though, you've got Jazz Thunder. Don't be surprised if this is an absolute blowout by the Thunder. And then 10 o'clock tonight, Eastern time, Clippers, Blazers, 76ers, Suns, as well as the Warriors and the Grizzlies. We got a little something for everybody here tonight. And as usual, we have got you covered here as In-Game Live Primetime coming up next. Game time decisions. Well, we'll see you again soon. Good luck. Enjoy the games. We'll talk to you again soon.